welcome to another episode of the William Branham Historical Research Podcast. I'm your host, John Collins, the author and founder of William Branham Historical Research at william-branham.org, and with me I have my very special guest, Jacob Saul, former member of Christ Gospel Church. Jacob, it's good to have you on and to talk about Christ Gospel Church. I've mentioned a few times, this is a church whose headquarters is literally two or three blocks that direction from my house. And it was one of two of the main, you would call it the main branches of the message, but they don't really recognize each other as that. They've separated so much that they're unaware that they came from the same thing. So I wanted to have more people on to talk about Christ Gospel Church, and I'm very glad you did. Maybe if you could begin by just telling everybody a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so before I even start, John, whatever I'm going to say today, or contrary to what I'll get a lot of backlash for this, because my family is very staunch, or especially from my dad and my mom, they're very staunch. Still believe in the Christ gospel teachings and message, and even my family members, although many of them's gone. So I am Jacob Saul, and grew up in a family, only son of four sisters. My dad, very involved in Christ Gospel South Africa, or mostly Western Cape. So in South Africa, you have different regions, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, it's about nine of them. We're in the Western Cape. But because of my dad's involvement, we were very much known throughout South Africa. Even in America, the Americas, we also are known a lot because my dad was superintendent. This is the word they use in America, superintendent. And it's been carried over into our culture as well. It's normally just director of Christian work. So yeah, so I grew up in that background. I remember at about 5-6 years old when we literally are full on Christ gospel, because it was still between there was different groups, and then one of the groups kind of broke away, and it just become full on Christ gospel. Most of our teachings came from there. So I was involved in Christ gospel a lot. And again, like I said, my dad was a superintendent. So I, being the only son, would travel with him to all these churches. And it's amazing how Christ gospel was so into the teachings. Oh, it was crazy.
It is. I've looked through some of the teachings, and some of it sounds really familiar. Bernice Hicks is the central figure who is now mm-hmm. dead, but she went deeply into the manifested sons of God theology, which mm-hmm. many of the people in the groups that have emerged from this can recognize. And there were a lot of different themes that we had, very similar to what you had. She would put a little twist on it, and it would be slightly different. Mm. So if you're comparing doctrine for doctrine, you'd say, well, this is a completely different group. But if you knew the history of how it emerged, you would understand that this really came from the same backbone. Yeah. And the weird part of it is the things that are common between the two groups are not the good things. They're usually the darker, more sinister type of theologies that enable people to create destructive groups. So this for me was really problematic when I understood that she was working with William Branham, she being Bernice Hicks. She was his, I think, Sunday school teacher. I think she might have played the piano or something like this.
Yeah, I believe so too,
in the church, right? And then they had some sort of a disagreement. She splits off and then starts taking with her many of the things that Branham learned from other people that are darker and more sinister. So there's a lot to talk through, but the bottom line is, yes, the doctrines are a little bit out there, and they mm-hmm. are not, in my opinion, they are not very scriptural, her twists that she takes upon them.
Yeah, and just to carry on with my early years, because if you look at most of these things, I was just saying about traveling to different churches. Now in South Africa, we would get what we call the message. They also called it the message, but it's like a, It's a transcript of what B.R. Hicks used to preach, and we would get that transcript in like a study format. And most of those pastors actually read word by word what he was saying there, which to me was weird because like I was also like, read through it, get a grasp of it, study it, and then put your little what you understand from it. But they would read everything word by word what he was saying in there. It was weird because I would like, because this is what Christ's gospel would teach about the now word. The now word is whatever B.R. Hicks preached, that's the now word for the whole of Christ's gospel international to preach. So with me growing up, because, you know, South Africa had the apartheid years, that was very influential in, because I hear this a lot from the Branham side and also Christ's gospel. There was a lot of not in-your-face racism, but there was racism. There was like this division slightly. And it was very much in South Africa because we had, if you look at South Africa's demographic, it was a big amount of it's black. And then we had what we call the colored. I know it's a derogative word in the rest of the other worlds, but we had what we call the colored, the mixed race. And then we had a smaller group of what we call the white. So the smallest congregation out of all of them were the white group, but they were running everything. I know pastors, there was a pastor in one of the, we call it Susanguve, which was in Pretoria. He had most probably the most church groups or churches that he built, but he wasn't recognized as a, he's not spiritual enough, because what would happen if we get the manuscripts, it would be sent to the son-in-law and he would be coached on this stuff so that he's more informed. So that is really what happened a lot. So like I said, between 4 and 5 years old, we went to a church which was mostly a mixed church in Hanover Park. My dad's brother-in-law, which was my mother's sister, they were sisters, he was the pastor there. 16 to 12 was Sunday school, which I loved because I was part of the Bible quizzes. Most probably I would either come first or second. That was where I loved, because I would always be interested in it. 13 to 18, I got exposed more to other Christians because now I'm at high school, which we, you guys believe, called senior. And then I start seeing there's a difference. How can we be the only ones that's going to heaven or being the bride? That was like a weird word. We're the only ones in the bride. But these kids love the Lord and they are so sincere with the Lord. So that was questions that I started, that came to mind. It's like, and I would ask them. I was always the on the rebellious stage. Not stage, but I was always asked, so you're always rebellious. You mustn't ask questions. You mustn't ask questions about the leaders. If you see anything wrong, the Lord knows. He's placed us here for a specific reason, even if things go not the way you think. And if it sounds wrong, do not question the Lord. A part they used to use a lot, and my dad used it a lot, is remember the David and Saul incident where David would go to Saul and cut off a piece of his garment, and he came back and he said, like, no, you see, he had remorse afterwards. So these are things that were kept, and you were actually driven to guilt when you do speak up against these people. And then 1992, I started working. That's when I met my wife. Was that around about 1992, I met my wife at about 2017. But in that time, being out in the field, seeing things, I just got a different understanding, and I was always asking questions. But I was still in, but as you will see, Branham, Message, wherever you go, these guys, your doctrine is so ingrained in you that you've got this lens on, and whenever somebody preaches, you look at from a message and like, that's not right, or these people don't know, we better, it's weird, it was actually difficult. When I met my wife, the first time I went to her church, For 3 weeks, I was just sitting there and judging everything this guy was saying. And eventually, I just decided, listen, this can't happen. I said, Lord, how am I going to hear you if I continuously judge these people according to you? And then I started phasing away from this whole Christ gospel.
It's funny. I was just this morning thinking about this. Over the past few days, I had the opportunity to encounter somebody who was in my former religion. I did not speak to them directly, but I watched them conversing with somebody who wasn't in the group, and I watched their eyes, and you can kind of tell what happens to their face. they're not at all respectful of somebody who's not in the group, and yeah. You can just see it. It's apparent on their face. And I was thinking this morning about how different it was to treat people with respect, regardless of what they believe or don't believe. We thought that we could dictate to other people what they must believe and how, or we could treat them as though they were the scum of the earth.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, we were taught that we were humble and kind and gentle and meek and all of the gifts of the Spirit, not recognizing that the very things that we were doing were in rejection of the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that this morning and thinking of just the difference as it relates to me and my personality, because my personality is such that I don't care who you are. I'm going to like you and love you and treat you with respect because I like all people. But I was in this religion that wouldn't let me do it. And worse, I was conditioned to believe that I was doing it while I wasn't. And all of this was just so odd to me as I was shaving and trying to think through this, right? But simply put, the freedom that we have now to treat other people as humans in a way that we should be treating them more closely matches the Bible than what we had in the group.
Correct, yeah, true. And it was difficult because like you said now, and what you're trying to say is that we are conditioned in that way to think that way. And it took a while for many of us. And like I said, many of my family members, because the church the congregation I belonged to was mostly family members and friends of the family that joined the church. So when I speak to them today, especially I spoke to a lady the other day, I'm like, oh, she's not married yet. I said, yeah. I said, oh, no, he's not in the message. I haven't found anybody that's in the message. And I'm like, knew what she was saying, but I'm like, just like fooling around. I'm like, so what do you mean? Because they don't even know what they're saying when they said they're not in the message.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, it's difficult to speak to them about that. And I think after I left Christ Gospel, I think the last when I was in Christ Gospel was around about 2006, because I got married in 1998. Then we moved to my wife's church. We sat there, which was most difficult because of the conditioning I had about how they need to preach, where they preach from, how do they understand the scriptures, the crucified message. You understand, you've heard about the crucified message already.
Yeah.
What they do with the crucified message. So what they do, every scripture is broke down in the form of the cross. So they start at one point and then say, oh, this is what it is. And the second point and the third point, the fourth, they put all on the cross. Every congregation had to have these two pictures in them. I don't know if you saw the pictures. I'll send you the pictures. The one is the tabernacle and the other one is the threefold nature of man. So those two things were constantly there. So you see this. If you walk into a church, I always have this picture. And this is what I told my dad when I left. And I hear them speaking. There's an old movie called Mississippi Burning. I don't know if you saw that yeah. movie, Mississippi Burning. In Mississippi Burning, the detective comes to these guys and they have a meeting. And he tells them this. They say, it might not look like a KKK meeting, but it smells like one. And I told my dad, you might not be in Christ's gospel, but it still smells like it. You guys still have the same lingo, the same words. And by the way, they rate Branham very highly. They Most of the CGC people rate Branham very highly because of those, you know, those seven prophets. And at times we would hear, no, Paul is excluded. Paul wasn't one of them. The others also, Sister Hicks is now the seventh one. And now some guys in South Africa, it's weird. There's a guy called, he called himself Jehovah Roscoe. I don't know if you heard about him. Jehovah Roscoe from El Tabernacle. He's like the eighth seal. I'm like, these guys are just one going, and it's all influenced by this teaching of Branham without them even knowing. It just influences and influences. Some of them goes way off, but the fundamentals or the foundation still stays the same.
And interestingly, you mentioned Mississippi Burning. I have this in my list of movies to watch. I've actually not seen it, but I know the context of it. And it ties directly to my Klan-related research. As I mentioned, there were some sinister figures behind the creation of Branham, which would have been extended to the creation of Bernice Hicks. And you know that history if you followed it. But the history created the mindset that you are either with us or you are against us. Yeah. And it wasn't necessarily even a black or white thing. I know Mississippi Burning focuses on the racial aspects, but there's so much more that comes with the Klan ideology that was bred into this. You must be anti-Catholic. Mm-hmm. You must be firmly positioned against them as the rising Antichrist or the enemy. And whether you agree with Catholicism or not, what this does is this trains you to act with hatred, and I hate to say it, but ignorant hatred towards the Catholic people, right? Because you would not have a Protestant church without the Catholic church, if you understand the whole history of how this moved. So there were the anti-Catholic ideology, the Christian identity. There's so many different themes that came with that. Some of them may have been good. There were things that even in its era, the Klan were recognized across many newspapers and many magazine articles for some of the good things that they did. They truly did have good, but they also had evil. And can you mix good with evil and call it good? No. That's really the problem. We'll take that a step further. Branham was created because of this. Bernice Hicks split off of this. And what they brought with them were not the good things. They did bring some good, yes, but can you truly call what they have good if they're mixing good and evil?
No, you can't. And that leads me to where I am now in my life, and looking at all of these for a couple of years now. I've looked at, where did the church start? Or not the church, where did denominations start? Because most of them are just denominations. It's not based on the foundation of the true church, the real church, the church that was formed in the book of Acts. And I look at even Pentecostalism, like if you're in South Africa, Cape Town, Pentecostalism has got that similar root, because it all comes from this tree that Branham and his following has built. Because that tree now looks at, when we look, the Pentecostal guys in South Africa looks at the rest of the guys, they're like, we are right, you guys are wrong. We're going to heaven, you're not going to heaven. And even though there is so much evil in some of those congregations, and if you look at it, it's like, wow, these guys are really bad. But because they belong to a Pentecostal movement, they see themselves slightly more higher, elevated than the rest of the other denominations, which also have errors. And this is my saying on that. I'm like, all denominations got a truth, but because they have either a lot of evil or a lot of untruth, there is that mix. And what you just said now, you can't mix good and evil together and say this is good. So, and that's where we've just started to decide, listen, we have to walk away from this stuff. We have to not be part of these things anymore. And there's a scripture that even when I mentioned it to a guy from the message the other day, I said, oh, no, but that's a Branham scripture. I'm like, how's it Branham scripture? You see that mindset? Revelation 18:4, get out of my people. I'm like, before Branham even spoke those words were in scripture. And we were always warned about it. So they always go back to, oh, Branham said this. And Branham said it in Christ's gospel, Sister Hicks, I was as a kid, I was like, can't we just get this woman's name out of your mouth and just say Christ? Because this is what we do in fellowship now. We come together in fellowship in a little group wherever in Cape Town. And the one thing I tell them, if you do not hear what the Holy Spirit is saying in this meeting, you haven't heard. You've heard what Jacob Saul has said or this guy has said. I said, if we don't, but what happens in those denominations, they want to hear what the B.R. Hicks, the Branhams, those guys are saying, and that is very important for them, and they don't grow from there.
Exactly, and it's like I said, they brought some of the bad things forward, one of the biggest of which was this idea that there has to be a messenger for the age is what Branham called it. And I know Hicks probably had a different term, but essentially what they're describing is you must have a central figure. And I never really knew how much I had that buried in my being until I left. And people started asking me after I left and I'm experimenting with all of these new denominations. They said, well, if Branham is not your leader, who is your leader? And I'm scratching my head thinking, well, I don't really need one, do I? The Holy Spirit was supposed to be the leader, right? That's what the Bible said. And I was reading the Bible and I was understanding the difference. Well, I thought that that was going to be a one or two time question and people would ask it and just that would be the end of it. That is probably the most common question that I get from week to week across all of my social networks and my email. Every single person who's indoctrinated with this mindset thinks that you must submit to some authoritarian figure. They have to have a central figure. And worse, if they escape, if they don't deprogram from that mindset, they'll unplug from one cult leader and plug into another cult leader because they must submit to this type of authority. And it's clearly anti-scriptural.
It is. And that leads us to the fivefold ministry. Because the fivefold ministry, when I read in scripture, the other day I had the conversation with the guys, like fivefold ministry. I'm like, okay, some say four because pastor and teachers one. And then you go to 2 Corinthians and then you go to Romans 12. I'm like, there's more gifts. In Ephesians, it's just like put it down as four or five. And these guys, which came with these mindsets, they needed to push this fivefold ministry so much so that there is a hierarchy and you need to look to somebody. You need to find a leader. And the question is asked in South Africa as well, especially among our mixed race people. The first question they ask me is like, who's your covering? Okay, now so if you're not in a church or a congregation, who's your covering? I'm like, just because you asked that question, initially I'm like, Christ is my covering, but then I got to the place, I'm like, people that ask this question is actually not biblical, because that is putting somebody else in the place of Christ. Because he said Christ is the head of the church and we are members of that body. So it just breaks down this whole mindset, and people think this way, which it sometimes baffles me to understand why have we. And now that I listen to a lot of your podcasts, I go in deeper into where did the church really start, even South Africa's church. If you look at the church in South Africa, a lot of people use the excuse that, oh, the white man brought religion into South Africa. I'm like, there was a bad group to it that brought all this weird stuff in. But most of these guys were in Europe, Germany, all those places, and were persecuted. And they fled with these guys and they started little missionaries. But then you get the guys like the Enge Church, which was very Freemason. Enge Church is Freemason based. Then you get I think it was the AOG or what was the church that also came here that started the Zion movement. The Zion movement actually broke away from them in South Africa. I'm like, our forefathers did not know God. Oh, but we serve God. I said, no, we serve trees. We served all these weird stuff. God was faithful to bring those people. But what happened is with this evil came in. That's why he said it's like now denomination and we have to have a structure and have to put place in here. And this is your leader. We're actually busy now on other social media group discussing the old apostolic and the new apostolic movement in South Africa. And it's weird where they came from. All of them came from a break up or breakaway, and there was always something happening. Like in South Africa, South Africa had his big fair share of fights. So I remember my dad says they started off, this one couple came to South Africa, and then the next couple came and there was a fight, so they had to choose, and suddenly everybody sided with this one group, which is, I don't know if you heard this name, Francis, so no. South Africa, Jeff Francis, they were the leaders in South Africa for a while. And then suddenly he's going to now stand off, his son needs to take over. His son needs to take, he says this whole family business, his son takes over. Suddenly the church is in arms like, hey, look, this is not how it works. Your son's going to take over. There's more qualified people. Another breakup happened. And then suddenly my dad was on the one side. My dad's brother-in-law was on the other side, siding. And then everything just broke up. We were literally sitting in a church for 6 months without a, what we call a pastor. You know, it's like a pastor. Because the pastor said, I'm standing off because I am not a pastor anymore according to the books of Christ's gospel. And we just waited for 6 months. And eventually we just said, listen, there's not, nobody's coming. Nobody's coming to say what's actually happening. We continued. But there was also this hatred and bad things happening. Now, in all denominations, I see this happening. There's always infighting. There's always a breakup. Because most of this foundation these guys build on was not Christ. It was on a denomination. In the early 70s in South Africa, then the one group would come and the other group would come, and then the full gospel would come, and then the Christ gospel would come, and the message guys would come, and it's this whole separation, you against us the whole time. And my dad was in the middle of that, and that's where he knew Christ gospel, not knowing the background, but it was so ingrained in him, our whole lifestyle. I hear a lot of people talk about clothing, about how you dress, what you have to do, the witness, you have to write to a specific. If I look at other denominations, exactly the same. The new and old apostolic, when you want to do something, you write the letter to the priest. They say yes or no, give you a, it's exactly the same culture that is being brought into, and it's mysticism. It comes from all these weird teachings that came from the East. Which is just crazy.
Have you ever wondered how the Pentecostal movement started, or how the progression of modern Pentecostalism transitioned through the latter rain, charismatic, and other fringe movements into the new apostolic reformation? You can learn this and more on William Branham Historical Research's website, william-branham.org. On the books page of the website, you can find the compiled research of John Collins, Charles Paisley, Stephen Montgomery, John McKinnon, and others, with links to the paper, audio, and digital versions of each book. You can also find resources and documentation on various people and topics related to those movements. If you want to contribute to the cause, you can support the podcast by clicking the Contribute button at the top. And as always, be sure to like and subscribe to the audio or video version that you're listening to or watching. On behalf of William Branham Historical Research, we want to thank you for your support. You mentioned Freemasonry, and I will never forget whenever I left the movement, I started looking at Freemasonry because I thought there must be some sinister, evil plot that is behind all of this mess that I came out of. And it took me years to understand this. The sinister plot really was that people had mimicked the structure of the fraternal organizations. Mm-hmm. The structure was such that you had this secret mystery, you had to join to get into it. Interestingly, they would say if you joined a denomination, you're going to hell. So you still had to become a member to be able to learn the secret. And the only way that you could get to the secret was to learn more and climb up the pyramid of knowledge within the groups that we were in. It's almost structure for structure the same as one of the fraternal organizations. And it took me years to realize that it wasn't really that the fraternal organizations were behind everything that we're seeing as far as the mess of the cults. It's that this was like a cookie cutter stamp of how you would create a scheme to invite people in and attract them into your hidden mysteries. And so what you essentially ended up with, Christianity had morphed itself into becoming more like the ancient mystery cults. And if you want to know what this is, you can go on Wikipedia, you can type in mystery cult or mystery religion, you'll find some examples. But it's the idea essentially that we have the knowledge that the other people of our kind do not, and so therefore we're better than them. In other words, we're Christians, but we have the secret thing that the Christians down the street do not have. And so what it does is it gives you this indoctrinated mindset that you are better than the other guy just because you have the knowledge. And sadly, because there are people who don't know how to handle this type of knowledge, they just speak down to the other people who don't have the secret. And that's why when I said the person, you could tell right on the face that this was not a good interaction. Yeah. Well, it's because of this. It's because of the fact that they think that they have something special the other person doesn't have. And the funny part is, if you look at it more like the book, The Emperor's New Clothes, what they have are these clothes that the other person can see right through and see that I really don't want what it is that they have.
When I look at this, I've just made some notes here, and I look at this. Once in one of our meetings, a letter was given to us. Apparently, this is what they said, that the Satanist has got a list of all the churches that they are afraid of, and Christ Gospel Church was on top of the list. And I do not know how much truth there was to it, but that's the one. But the one thing that is scary, like you look down on other congregation, a congregation or church that's not Christ Gospel, but interdenominational, there was also looking down on it, because you have this rankings, like you said, in the Freemasons. Like you will see people were growing. We had the tabernacle that we looked at, and where you would always judge yourself according to the tabernacle. Oh, I'm here now, and you always feel that you're not good enough. But then you would also look at your brother and measure him according to that. You're like, you know what, he's struggling. Because when I look at our family, I would always, it was weird for me to see that things that we were told not to do, when I went to my cousins, which was also part of Christ's gospel, they were allowed to do things. They were allowed to play sports. They were allowed to have a TV in their house. They were allowed to have Game Boys. And we weren't even allowed to have any of this. I'm like, so there was this difference. Some of the women I would see in the, or the ladies, the kids I would see in the road, youngsters, wearing pants. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. Why are they allowed this? So you would have this ranking inside the congregation itself. And it just there was no growth. And in its essence, it was more just infighting the whole time, because you will find one person to be good, another person to be bad. The one thing that didn't sit well with me all the time. Christ's gospel believed that when Sister Higgs died, the Lord is coming. That was a known fact throughout. Oh, when Sister Higgs dies, the Lord, because she also said this. So there was words. She spoke about this. It's like, when Sister Higgs died, and I'm like, I was actually waiting for her to die. That it sounds bad, but I'm like, just to prove you guys, it's not true. Sister Higgs is not God. Sister Higgs is not even Moses is God, not even any of those guys, not even Paul is God. Paul asked the questions, now who's Paul? Who's Apollos? Who's Cephas? And he asked these questions, and I'm like, if Paul can ask these questions, who is these guys that put themselves on a pedestal high and rating them higher? Because she was, you know, in the Muslim belief, they have Muhammad is the best of all mankind. This is what they looked at this woman. And they started worshiping this woman, having pictures of her all over the place.
I've mentioned this a few times, but as I was studying church history, I came across the works of Eusebius, and he's talking about how the ancient mystery cults came to be. And it was exactly this. There was some person who did some great thing, or was some religious respected person who over time became the object of worship, and then later people were sacrificing their children to the dead deity, and they were representing the dead deity by stone or some idol that they had structured. And I got to thinking about the group that I left. we were like one step away from this. No, we mm-hmm. may not have sacrificed our children, but we did give this dead human guy so much respect that maybe he wasn't called God to us, but we treated him like he was. Whatever he said on recording or written transcript, it was superior to anything that we read in the Bible. And if there was ever a conflict, we chose what he said, and then we would dismiss this by thinking our minds just can't understand why he said that. But we believe mm-hmm. what he said. He knows what the scripture says. So in essence, we took his words above the Bible.
Yeah. And that is what I always feared. And I don't know why, me growing up in Christ Gospel, my only because we in South Africa, we would get the magazine. I don't know if you know the little magazine, Jerry Phelps. I believe it's Jerry Phelps or Phelps that him and somebody else wrote it. That was my information I got, because you have to do the Christ Gospel studies prescribed by B.R. Hicks and a group of people there. And how far you've gone into this, that is your ticket, as I can say, to leadership, becoming a pastor, becoming a youth leader, becoming a whatever in the organization. So you have to go through that. And by studying any other, you actually, you're not in the message, if I can call it that way, if you study anybody else, if you listen to anybody else. We weren't allowed to go to other churches. We weren't allowed to go visit other people. We would always tell the people to come and visit us. And we were always the people that wanted to have the right answers to these things, because this is how it is. Many of the things, and I think you've done this over your years, and I can hear that, is that you had to now go and search scriptures yourself. Done it in 44,000, because Christ Gospel believe they're the 144,000. We are part of the bride. We are the guys that's going to be in the bride. The rest is not going to be in the bride. They're going to be part of the new earth and the new heaven. We are going to be part of the new Jerusalem. And that is where you as organization has now placed a higher rank on yourself, putting little marks on you, so like, I'm better than them. And it becomes difficult to look at this as a child. And I know some of the other kids just accepted it. I did not. I was always like questioning, like, and although I love what I've heard there was good for a while, but I would always ask questions. Now, with this, there's a recording you made on from Brandon to Bethel. That was me. So I was in a spin-off of Brandon, but I was in a spin-off of Bethel as well. We practiced whatever Bethel practice. We did the prophecies, the school of prophecies. We did the fire tunnels. We did all this laughing in the spirit. We everything Bethel believed, that is what we carried over. The sozo, the weird stuff. Me looking at it now, when that's the first podcast I actually listened to, because I never found anything on Christ's gospel, and then I found this thing, and I'm like, this is exactly my journey from the Branham understanding, growing, going to the other Pentecostal church, ending for 7 years. I was part of this church, and I'm like, oh, so one day we in the band, so we did a secular concert. And it was the 80s. So it was like on this Valentine's Day, that was just before lockdown happened. And I'm standing there playing, and we're doing all this 80s music, and I'm playing. And I felt the same feeling I got when I'm in a worship set. I'm like, this feels exactly the same. And then I started realizing, this thing is dangerous. This thing that we call worship in the Bethel, Hillsongs, movements, and all these things are very dangerous, because we're going after emotionalism, spiritualism, we all these isms we go after, and we forget about Christ. Who's Christ? Who's Christ in all of this? Because it really becomes about who we really are.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because as I mentioned, one of the problems that people have when they're in one of these destructive groups, they unplug from one group and then they unplug themselves into another group that is just maybe not as destructive, but has the potential to become as destructive. And I have friends who were in Christ's gospel. That's exactly where they went, straight to Bethel. And when you talk to them and you try to explain that, well, this, yes, it may sound better and prettier and more exciting, it's still the same foundation. And the answer that you usually get from anybody who that I've talked to who went to Bethel and speaks highly of it, they'll say, yes, but we left this destructive group and they're trying so hard to do good. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because they're trying. They're trying to reach the lost. And for me, it's much like this. If I don't know if you know what a sinkhole is. And in the States, we have this thing called a sinkhole. And what it is, it's near a river and the ground will just suddenly cave in and go into the river. Well, if you build a house on this and your house crumbles, your house is gone. It's just it's demolished. Somebody could come along to the sinkhole and build a slightly bigger house and prettier and more exciting and say, we're going to feed the poor from this house. We're doing a good thing. But underneath, you still have the problem. And for me, when I look at Bethel, when I look at, I mean, even right now, I see Mike Bickle is about to come to IHOP KC. All of these things descended from the same root. And if you're building on that same root and you're not taking away the bad, the dangerous thing, pull the dangerous thing out and just replace it with solely only the scripture, only the Bible, you're going to end up with something that isn't the Bible. Because if you take the Bible and you add anything else with it and then say, here's our religion, it's not a Bible-based religion. It's something else.
Yeah, and again, like we, I think that the whole idea of doing these podcasts, I believe, is to say that, listen, look at where you are now and see how it the Branham and the Lateran and those guys has influenced your thinking and your doctrine, because many of those thought patterns were influenced. We call it the rabbit hole. It's like literally just going down. You're going one. You never get to the end of it. And it's really there where people start break. It's like you find something new, but it's exactly the same. It just looks different. You go to another place, and this, I really believe, this podcast, I feel so strong in me, and I wish more people can listen to this with an open mind and just say, let's just listen to what John and the guys are doing, trying to just, all we want to do is just show you guys this is what it's all about. You guys all decide at the end of the day what you have. Many of us, like myself, we came out of it understanding, like, these things are bad. Because in 2020, just when the full lockdown happened, sitting at home, and I was looking at all of this. And the one thing I had to realize, because Christ's gospel is still in the back of my mind, it's still forming a lot of how I think about scripture and how I read scripture and how I break up scripture. And it's like, Lord, you have to take everything away that I know, good or bad. Even if there's a good thing in what Christ's gospel has done, and a lot of people don't want to understand, it's like, listen, if it's good, it's fine. Let it go. The Lord will then just remind you again of these little things, and He will take all those back. And that is where me and my family had to walk and say, listen, let's just forget about all these things. Let's start from fresh. Let's start from new, because the Lord can rebuild in a day. He can give you everything you need in a day. And with that, I started looking at guys like David Pawson. I don't know if you know David Pawson. I started looking at a guy called Jacob Press. Jacob Press has got a Jewish influence guy. But when I listen to their teaching, I'm like, this stuff is also because Christ's gospel really believed that they were teaching from the Old Testament, from the tabernacle. But a lot of it was mysticism brought into those teaching. And I was always worried, because when I taught people in South Africa Christ's gospel, nobody knew about Christ's gospel. Nobody knew about the teachings of Christ's gospel. Nobody understood the teaching of Christ's gospel. And I'm like, oh, I came from this church. They always thought when I say Christ's gospel, Christ's gospel, they thought I talk Latter-day Saints, you know, the church of. And I'm like, no. So then I had to explain to them where we were. And now I'm sitting with my family and cousins trying to break this down for them. They still, and I tell them the first thing you need to do is just break down these old things, put it aside for a while, 6 months, 3 months, a year, and just concentrate on reading scripture on how you see it. Don't take scriptures, read the whole passage, read the whole book, read all of them together. Now you understand what was actually what Paul tried to say, what Peter tried to say, what Jesus tried to say, what was the mysteries, because that is the thing they talk about, the mysteries, the secrets hidden there. But the secret is Christ. The mysteries is Christ. It's not Branham did, what we call the serpent seed, the gap theories, the eternity past and the eternity future. And these words are only recognized in the Christ gospel setting. When you go out there, people don't, what do you actually, then have to explain it to them. There's certain words and lingos we have created, and it actually does not make sense to me. I sat the other day, and I'm like, this stuff doesn't make sense to me anymore. I actually thank the Lord because He like wiped that hard drive, not even wiped it. He just took it out and gave me a new hard drive. It's like, yeah, this is what I want you to know. And now you sit down with people, speak about denominations. I speak to them clearly about denominations. Denominations is bad because it brings divisions. Even if you think your pastor is doing good, if it's a denomination, it's bad in the sense it brings division because you are this group, I am this group. That is just what it is. We can't sit together. We can't fellowship. So there's a scripture we use when we talk about fellowship. People always say, oh, we're in fellowship. I said, there's only one scripture. And I believe it's in 1 John or 2 John where it says, if you walk in the light as I'm in the light, then you have fellowship one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleans. I say, that is our fellowship work, not in a denomination. It works when we are connected with Christ. We walk in the light of Him. And then, so it's a good journey that I'm on. I love the journey. I like breaking down. It's frustrating. And it's sad to see that some of my friends, my parents, my siblings are still so entangled in these things. And it's not bringing life. There's no fruit. Nothing to that sense. You've heard about the Jacob warriors in Christ's gospel? So I remember 1 year. So when the church was in this breakup, so the pastors would all come together from South Africa, all over. They meet in Cape Town. So when we have what we call our combined service, they would have a pastoral meeting. And in the meeting, my pastor's wife, where I belong to the last one, always came to me, your name is came mentioned in the meetings. So I'm not even in a meeting. I'm a youngster of 23, 24, 25 years old. But my name is, yeah, he hates the pastors because I asked him questions. So I was always mentioned. So that morning, the pastors is in a big fight. They disagree with each other. The service goes on. But as the service start, the brother that's actually leading the service said, I'm not going to lead the service. We're going to make the music. I'm not going to lead the service. Get yourself a worship leader. They call me to the front. I'm standing in front. Now I have to lead the service with all this commotion happening. The pastor is angry with his pastor and they're all angry with each other. And I'm standing then I'm leading the worship. The Jacob warriors acted up that morning and I knew exactly why. Because now they're trying to break down whatever's happening now. You see how demonic this thing is? They would have the ladies with the long hair would come to the front and shake it around. And like, I'm like, this is not from God. What are you guys doing? And this is the questions. This is the stuff at the end. At the end, that just led me to a place and said, listen, yeah, I had enough.
If you had some advice to give people who are in the group and can recognize that there's something wrong but aren't able to find a way to escape, what advice would you give them?
So from my where I was, I had to first of all forget everything. You have to emotionally detach yourself from it. So like, this is what I believe is right. I believe this woman is right. first believe that you're not going to be punished if you speak up against Sister Hicks. You are not going to be sinning if you speak up against Christ's gospel. The Lord himself said, let us reason together. He speaks to us. He said, we need to get to the place we say, I am willing to ask questions. If I'm wrong, the Lord himself is faithful and gracious and merciful to bring me. We know God is a God of love. We teach this stuff. And he's willing to say, I will teach you this stuff, but take a season in your life and break this stuff down. Listen to podcasts like this. Listen to other people. Listen to these guys. Even David Pawson is very influential in me in starting to break down the Bible, because all he doesn't speak doctrine. He just speaks scripture. What does the Bible say? How is it written? Because the lens that we had on all the time was a CGC lens. And we read scripture. So he said, get out of there. The people that is contrary to what you are saying, because we hate when somebody is not believing the same we do. Sit with those guys and say, I don't agree with you, but let me hear you out and hear what you're saying. I'll go like a Berean and go home and study these things. We have the Lord. You don't need the witness. Although you believe the witness is still there, say, Lord, I want to hear directly from you. What are you saying concerning these things? And it actually, it takes a while. It took me a few years, but until the day I decided, and I had to go through that journey, which was good, because now I can speak to people and say, guys, I know there's only one way, and it's Christ. No other man is a mediator. If any man becomes the mediator, if any man stands in front and he's the one that is, he gets the divine revelation from God. That divine revelation, because many of these cults, and I call them cults, many of these cults started with a person that was alone in their room and heard from an angel, heard from some special intervention in a dream, and they came and they said, the Lord said this. In the church, in the body of Christ, where two or three agree on something, so shall it be. So this is the whole thing. That is where witness is. Witness is, you say, I've heard. If a pastor say, I hear from the Lord, he comes and sit with other brothers. We speak about it and say, my brother, we don't hear the same like you say. I don't believe that is what scripture is. But because they have so much authority, people just run. And we have to be careful that we place certain people as authority over us. Nobody should be authority of us. Yes, we have people that are laboring. I read that scripture where Paul says, honor those that labor amongst you, that goes into the word and study the stuff. But most of the time, like in where I am in fellowship now, I sit in fellowship and I say, guys, we need to hear from the Lord on this. You go home. You've heard what I said, what this brother said, what that brother said. You go and study your scriptures. If you're not in the Word of God, if you're in the message book, if you're in the tapes, if you're in the magazines or the books those people are written, you are not in the Word. You're hearing from them. Put that aside and listen to what the scriptures are saying concerning this stuff. You'll be surprised how these things are just opening up for you.
Very good. Thank you so much for doing this.
No, I'm glad I could. And it's, to me, it's sad. If I could save everybody, if I say save, if I can just change people's minds, everybody's minds, I know the Lord will be pleased at it. But he say everybody's got to have to choose for themselves. Everybody's got to have a decision to make concerning this. The one thing we need to recognize is that most of these doctrines have an arrogant way of explaining that they are good. There's an arrogance to it. They don't listen you out. They're like, yeah, but I'm saying, okay, I don't want to hear about Branham. I don't want to hear about B.R. Hicks. Let's speak about scripture. Let's speak about what does the Lord say concerning this. Then we go and say, what has this person said about it? Let's hear what scripture. Let's read the whole scripture. I'm like, wow, this is actually deeper than what you understand. And then you break it down carefully. Too many people are stuck in these things because they are looking to somebody and not Christ. Too many.
Well, thank you so much. If you've enjoyed our show and you want more information, you can check us out on the web. You can find us at william-branham.org. For more about the dark side of the New Apostolic Reformation, you can read Weaponized Religion, From Christian Identity to the NAR, available on Amazon, Kindle, and Audible.